Well, good morning. Hope everyone is doing well this morning. It's great to be here and to be with you. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to open to the Gospel of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 13. We'll be able of the reads this morning. So Matthew chapter 13, and if you have a pew Bible, that can be found on page 691 in your pew Bible. So Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you were pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat." This is the word of God. I think there's something in us, there's a truth that you and I like good stories. We're people that we're drawn to stories. Research shows that we remember information, we remember things better when it can be told to us in story form. I think we particularly like stories where the good guy wins. Think about where this is true. I mean, all of our movies, so many books, different things out there, right, in our world, point to this truth that the good guy wins. I don't think we have to. I see this very clearly in so many of our superhero movies. Now, there's somebody's seen it yet. I have not seen it. But my guess is that Superman is going to come out okay in the end. Batman, when he's fighting off his villains, the Joker and all those others, right, he ultimately is going to be okay in the end. See, we that make us feel good, where we know that the good guy ultimately win. Our parable this morning is kind of, sort of, about good guys and bad guys. We have the wheat, and then we have the weeds. It's not too difficult. We've read that the weeds are bad, that they are the bad guy, so to speak, and that the wheat is good. Poll just really quickly. How many of you, when you are in your yard or you're working in your yard and you see weeds, just like you're pulled just to yank that weed up, right? It's just what we do. My front door, right by it, and I have to admit, like, when I get out of my car, I walk by that bed and I'm going to my front door. If I see a weed, you can count it as good as gone. Like, it will be picked up from that bed. It will be thrown to the ground, and either right then I'll go get a trash bag, put it into the trash bag, haul it to my, I'll collect it at another time. We don't like weeds. Since they crowd out the good things, the plants and the flowers and everything that's in our garden bed or the things we're trying to grow, we don't want them there, right? As we look at this parable this morning, I bench you, and as we look at this parable, that while we are prone to cast judgment, and while you in certain ways, as we put others in a certain box, or as we try to make sense of the world, as we think about, ultimately it is the Lord who is our kind and gracious judge. It is ultimately him and him alone that will reap the harvest at the right time. So the Lord is our gracious judge. He is the one at the right time. I want to issue just a quick word of maybe comfort this morning. I don't know, but I feel compelled just to let you know that as we, respectively, like, it can be really easy to look in your life and to think, "Lord, where might the weeds in my heart and in my life be right now?" Or you you could be kind of thinking to yourself, well, you know, things seem to be going okay. You know, sure, I've got kind of my struggles, like got just kind of regular things going on, but generally, I'm doing okay. This passage isn't really calling us first to look introspectively or to take stock about perhaps where we are spiritually. That for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. In a very real sense, like there is nothing that you and I can do to earn favor or to earn our salvation apart from the gracious work of God. But I think there's a very real sense in which we look at this parable and you can call it other guy syndrome for us. Other guy syndrome. You know the other guy, don't you? You know the other guy. It's that coworker that you butt heads with constantly. They're just a nuisance. They're just annoying. Perhaps it's that difficult family member. For whatever reason, they just bug you. They just get under your skin a little bit. Or maybe it's that particular political party. The other guy. It's the other team. Whatever it might be, you and I are prone to other guy syndrome. And I think ultimately we won't find our place in this passage if that's how we first approach it. We have to humbly, before this passage, before this parable that Jesus preaches here, and we have to receive it, Lord, as the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us to. And so how would he guide us and direct us to receive this parable that Jesus is teaching here this morning? Well, secondly, we have to look at our call, ultimately what our place that we find ourselves. And then third and finally, that we have a good and we have a gracious promise from our Father in heaven. So first, our place. Jesus begins this parable in a similar way that he taught other parables. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. That as we enter into this parable, Jesus, even as you follow Jesus' source of strength and for your salvation, that we get to be a part of a kingdom, something that is bigger than ourselves. That there is a reality out there working here and now that we graciously kingdom of heaven. And that in a very real sense, what Jesus will go on to teach, and as he would go on to teach in many different parts of his ministry, is that we get to be a part of this kingdom as we come to faith in him. So that we're in this kingdom, that this kingdom will work this way. The way that we believe that good seed, when it is scattered, should produce the right things. It should produce wheat. Expected, but as we turn immediately to verse 25, we get some really bad news. That while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat and then went away. It was supposed to be good, and yet here's this enemy. Introduction of evil, of what's wrong. It really should take you back to the first pages of our Bible, of to Scripture. See that God created everything. He created it good. And yet, as we turn to Genesis chapter 3, serpent, we're introduced to Satan. And we know the story, right? That say Adam and Eve disobey. History, the course of our existence, it's changed forever, right? That evil is now in the world. The theologian and pastor St. Augustine would say, well, you know, it's Satan, it's the devil, it's evil working against all the things that are good. It's turning the good things for selfish and for wrong ends, right? I'm reading a wonderful, wonderful book right now called Theo of Golden. Has anybody heard of this book before? Has anyone heard? Just to promote it here just for a split second, it really is wonderful. Like if you're a reader, if you like good fiction, I would highly encourage you to check out Theo of Golden. It's a wonderful story. It's about a man named Theo, who an elderly man. He's originally from Portugal. He's lived in different places across the world, most recently New York City. But he moves to this fictitious town in Georgia called Golden. Only halfway through the book, I'm still trying to figure things out. But as you come to learn, as you read, that Theo is just a really kind-hearted, gentle, wonderful man. He comes to Golden, he goes to a coffee shop out of all places, and he sees all these wonderful, these beautiful portraits of people that are hanging on the walls. And so he decides to buy these portraits, and he wants to gift them to the people that are in the portraits, right? And so he decides to do this. He has connections. He has a lot of success at first, giving these portraits to people who are just, again, amazed at this wonderful act of kindness. But in one example, as he's giving this portrait away to hopefully this young woman, instead hearing this young woman's boyfriend, and this boyfriend is jealous, he's frustrated, he's insecure, he's angry. He's everything kind of that seems just so wrong in the world today. And so he meets this nice old man, Theo. He grabs the portrait, he throws it on the ground, disgraces Theo, embarrasses him. And Theo is just so upset. And Theo really kind of wrestles with, you know, why would this guy do this? And I think there's a simple answer that really evil exists here in our world today. See, you and I don't have to look too far, too wide to know that this is ultimately true, do we? Ourselves, we know we live in a broken and a sinful and painful world. That while we are still in God's kingdom and now, that the reality is it's not fully there yet. You know, we look around and we see so many of the problems in our world today. We see how a flood can take the lives of over 130 people, those still missing in the Texas Hill Country, a part of our community. And we just sit there and we can't explain it. We don't even know how to process or even hardly to think about that. We look around and we see war and death and destruction in places that we probably don't even fully realize or know. And we ask, how can that possibly possibly? And then even on a perhaps micro, more personal level, we know that we don't have it all together. That we struggle. That we grieve and we're sad and we don't know why, or we feel trapped and we don't know where to go. And the difficult part of this passage is that we don't really, right? We don't. We don't get a straightforward answer of why there are weeds, of why there's evil. See, the servants came and, well, sir, you sowed good seed. And then the owner simply just has to reply, well, no, it was an enemy that did this. So we know our place. It's a bit uncomfortable. That we live in a world marred by sin, that we know that there's a kingdom out there that is there for us as we come to it by grace through faith. But I think you and I are called to look at our call, how we might live in light of this reality. There's a helpful passage for me this week from Psalm 37. And I'm just going to read it for us because it's God's word. Speak to you and work in your heart in a way certainly that I am my own, in my own words, can. So what is our call? How are we called to live? David writes in Psalm 37, starting in verse 1, he says, "Be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they care and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. What I think David is ultimately trying to point you and I to this morning is that in light of this place where we find ourselves, you and I are called to trust in the Lord, to commit our ways to him, to know that one day our righteous reward, it will shine like the dawn. But in the meantime, we are called to humble patience, humble active patience as we await and as we live. See, the servants wanted to take things into their own hands. They wanted to be in bed pulling the weeds out. Let's go to work. Let's pull these weeds up. Let's get to fixing. The Lord, in his grace, calls us to service, to looking out for the least of these, to walk alongside those who are hurting and who are in pain. He calls here and now, but it ultimately won't be you and I that can fix anything on our own. It will first and foremost have to be the Lord and his strength doing the work for us. I was reminded of this just in a wonderful, great way yesterday. I had the privilege of going out to the Faith Church food pantry yesterday in Midfield called Faith Church. The Lord is doing wonderful, mighty things. One of those being a food pantry that they host once a month. And I would challenge you, if you haven't been to the food pantry, one, I would encourage you to find a time to go. It is really a wonderful, wonderful time. But I would encourage you to leave that place and to not just feel strengthened and encouraged as you walk away, as you're going and serving and moving boxes and moving food and walking alongside with shoppers as they're getting to choose their own groceries and choose their own food. We can take matters into our own hands, or we could just throw our hands in the air and say, Lord, I'm going to hold out. I'm going to hold out. Other people can get to work. I'm just going to hold out until the end. And what I think this beautiful truth embedded in this parable seen in Psalm 37 is that we can live and walk in humble patience even now as we fully trust the Lord ultimately to do. And that is ultimately where this parable leaves us. The Lord will do the work. See that at the right time, the wheat will have its time fully. The weeds will be gone, they will be no more, and the wheat will shine sun. Ultimately, you and I can trust that we have a Savior, one whose hands were nailed on a cross, who was put to death in our place, who was judged in our place, in order that you and I might have life and have salvation in his name. And I'm here to tell you this morning that is just such a wonderful, wonderful truth, wonderful story, and a wonderful gift for you and for me. And so I pray that you and I would, even this week, that we would lay hold of that truth even more, that we would see in comparison to others, looking at the other guy, but ultimately in light of the finish and the full and complete work of Jesus on the cross in his death and resurrection. That in the gospel, you and I have a story. It's the best story. It's the best. And we know that in the end, the good guy and those who were found in him, in Jesus, will be found victorious. I invite you to pray with me this morning. The gift of this day. Lord, we thank you for the passage, this parable this morning. Lord, I pray that you would stir and work in our hearts in such a way, Lord, that, Lord, we would continue to live faithfully in these days. Lord, as we wrestle with the things that are not right. Lord, as we wrestle with the evil, with the pain, with the grief, with the suffering, whatever it might be, Lord, we trust you in our lives in such a way, Lord, that we would continue to come to you in all things this morning. Lord, knowing that you have given us your Son who has taken our place. So, Lord, we pray. We do thank you. And we offer this all in the name of your Son.